Hey there, citizens of Kanto Nation. Blue here.
And Yellow.
We just wanted to thank you for listening to KantoCast and to let you know that you're awesome.
Your support is what keeps us motivated to continue to bring you the best content we can.
It may seem arbitrary, but all the likes, shares, reviews, subscribes, and follows really do help. Everything you do helps us grow the Kanto Nation, so thank you.
If you're new to KantoCast, all the links you need to become a full-fledged citizen of the nation are in the description, so subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Twitter.
It's a great little community to be a part of, and we, along with the rest of the Kanto Nation, are happy to welcome you to it. But for right now, please enjoy this week's episode of KantoCast. Welcome to KantoCast episode 35. I am your host, Blue, and joined with me, as always,
is Yellow.
The first lady of the nation, Yellow, is here. She got so excited to say her name that she didn't let me actually introduce her proper, but that's okay.
I wasn't sure how you were going to do it. We haven't done this in a while.
I wasn't either. I was making it up on the fly. So, yeah, it's been a while. Hi. How you guys doing? It's the middle of December, and I think we left in, like, the beginning of December, but we're here now?
No, I think we recorded the last one still in November.
Could have been.
I don't know, it's been forever, and there's so much news.
Well, it's good to, I was gonna say see you, but I can't. So, good to have you listening.
To our voices.
I'm glad that you're here listening to me ramble about things and stuff.
About Pokemon.
That's mostly Pokemon related. And that's actually a good description of this podcast. Random Pokemon ramblings.
I don't think they're random. They're actually really well planned out. So we'd like you to think anyway.
That is debatable. anyway, so Pokemon stuff has been happening. Full disclosure, we had a plan for episode 35 that is not at all what it actually turned out to be. So here we are doing something
a little bit different.
Kind of on the fly, because Pokemon decided to release a bunch of news, mainly about VGC 2016 format, and then also Volcanion, which this episode was going to have something about Volcanion anyway, but my theory is going to take a little push back for the time being, because VGC 2016 stuff became huge, and I think my computer would explode if I tried to render a 3-hour episode. So we're not going to do that. But the next episode will be up, you know, either in a week or 2 weeks. We will see. But it's pretty much planned, kind of, already.
Yeah.
So, good news. You're going to get all of your hopes and dreams fulfilled with VGC 2016 content this episode. And then next episode is going to be something
else.
Some of
the usual stuff and some more new stuff.
I've been wanting to debut the new segments, but we haven't been able to. But that's okay, because VGC is heating up, and we need to talk about that, obviously. So, that said, we're not going to talk about VGC 2016 just yet, because that would be too good of a transition, and I'm not about that life. So, we are going to talk about newsy stuffs right now.
So, first of all, I'd like to say I was completely wrong about what Pokemon Picross is. I thought it was some sort of cute little block game where you push them around and you create Pokemon puzzles based on the images that I saw online. But it is not what it is at all. Apparently, it is a numbered puzzle game, kind of like Sudoku, whatever you want to call it. I have no idea what it's actually called. So you complete the puzzles, and when you do complete the puzzle and it looks like a Pokemon, duh, because it's Pokemon Picross, you get to keep that Pokemon and put them on your team or collect them or something like that. And each Pokemon has its own special ability, and that ability helps you solve puzzles. So one of the Pokemon could delay time, so you have more time to complete the puzzle, and another one might actually help you solve the puzzle by giving you clues or filling in blocks for your puzzles and stuff. And each puzzle gets harder, and apparently this game is a little bit disappointing because it's what they call a free-to-start game, or also known as freemium. So you get to a certain point and you hit a paywall. And people have been kind of,
yeah, that's
like
dumb.
Mad about that.
That's dumb.
I don't know. Like, there's still ways to get, I don't know if they're called like pick rights or like jewels or whatever like the payment system is. You can buy them or you can like play this other little in-game thing to get more, but it takes a lot longer after you hit a certain point.
That's dumb. I'm not playing this game. I'm not.
I'm not good at number games. And for the fact that I didn't even know it was, I guess I'm not even going to try and play it.
No. Because it's like a premium game for free, but it's
free
not
to
at all.
Start. People were saying like, why wasn't it? Just
why don't
a
they
demo?
Call it? Why don't they call it Freeter?
I don't know.
Like free starter.
Because freemium is like an industry term that people use, and Pokemon made up this term called free to start.
Well, I think freemium is a misleading term because it makes me think of something awesome that's free.
Yeah.
Man, it's not.
It's not.
It's just like that badged game. The little badge thing.
The claw game thing?
Yeah. The Nintendo came out with. Yo.
I didn't think that was freemium, but I haven't played it.
You get to... Okay, so you get the initial badges that like you get to pick up.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay for the rest.
No, I thought you only got so many attempts a day.
They give you free attempts at certain points, but yeah. They never tell you when.
Oh.
I, for example, got it on day one and still do not have any other free plays.
Maybe you're doing it wrong.
I'm not doing it wrong. They just don't give out free plays for it. Anyway, Pokken Tournament. You guys love Pokken Tournament, probably, if you've played it. If not, you probably want
Most
to.
Most people haven't played it because it hasn't been released outside of Japan.
Yeah. Didn't they have pilots?
In the arcades.
Yeah. Yellow.
How many people can go to the arcade and play
it? I don't know. Maybe some people play it at Worlds in Boston.
Okay, maybe.
In Baston. I don't know. I'm sorry. I know that's not how Bostonians talk, but that's all I got for an accent. Anyway, there will be new playable and assist characters in Pokken Tournament. Sceptile is a playable character with Electrode and Farfetch'd as support Pokemon. The update will drop on December 16th, which I think is today.
It was... yesterday.
Is it the 17th? I lost a day.
I think it's already the 17th, yeah. So it's available now.
Yeah, we will have a link in the description showing you the video footage if you want to check that out. Feel free to hit that up. It's a YouTube clip because kids are crazy about YouTube. Another set of support / assist characters have been confirmed for Pokken. Togekiss and Rotom and Dragonite and Victini.
I don't know if they're, like, together, because when I was looking at the news for this, they only ever mentioned them as Togekiss and Rotom, and then the other set was Dragonite and Victini, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know when they're going to be available.
Further details aren't available at this time, if you didn't know.
I didn't know.
The Sceptile event has been announced for December 18th through the 27th, and then from the 28th to January 11th. This is a joint Christmas and New Year event, and it provides a variety of bonuses. First, if you manage to get Sceptile up to level 15 before January 11th, you will be given some clothing for your avatar, which is pretty cool. In addition, if you use a Bana passport by December 27th, you will receive Farfetch'd and Electrode as support Pokemon, and you'll unlock a special Christmas avatar bonus. This ranges from a Christmas hat to party hats, as well as various Christmas player titles. Finally, a special Santa Claus set of costumes will be available for you when you log in over Christmas week.
Yeah, there's a lot of news for that, and it's very confusing, and we can't play it anyway, so...
Basically,
lots of Christmassy goodness.
Yeah, lots of Sceptile Christmas stuffs. Which, it's kind of a Christmassy Pokemon, I can see that.
I can't.
Pokken Tournament will be getting a premium Wii U bundle in the 32GB fashion as well. Just in Japan, that's where it's only been announced so far. It will include a digital download of Pokken Tournament, a Shadow Mewtwo amiibo card, and a special booklet of the Battle Pokemon action list, as well as an insert showcasing all the moves of the Pokemon. A special Pokken Tournament controller will be made available. This is a wired controller, and it will match the controls of the arcade game, which doesn't include an analog stick. The release date for that is March 18th in 2016, for Japan only.
I don't think it's Japan only, but
It's probably Japan only.
For that date, anyway.
Probably Japan only.
I don't know. Some of these dates get really confusing when I'm looking up news because they don't specify whether or not it's Japan or America or Europe or whatever.
But, good news, the game is also compatible with the Wii U Pro Controller and the Wii Classic Controller. So, that's a thing. Because we have the Classic Controllers, actually.
Did you know that Pokemon was the most reblogged video game on Tumblr for 2015?
It was.
Yes, it was. And possibly in response to this news, Pokemon actually created a Tumblr, and you can find it at pokemon.tumblr.com.
That is a very convenient website.
Apparently, Tumblr is picking up again. I thought it was going a little bit downhill, but...
Tumblr's always been around. It's just, it's never been on my radar.
Yeah, I think it's good for resharing stuff. And that's probably why Pokemon got reblocked so many times. Something else to note is that the Pokemon Go trailer was one of the top trending video games of 2015 on YouTube, and it was the 6th most Googled video game search of 2015.
That is understandable.
I think everyone's just really hype about figuring out what Pokemon Go is going to be.
I want to know what Pokemon Go is. I hope it's not bad.
I don't think it's going to be bad.
Yeah, so News with a Nation, we are going to involve you guys in either polls or comments or responses or anything really that pertains to like big ticket news type stuff or whatever Yellow deems appropriate to share on CantoCast. So here we go.
Hoopa and the Clash of Ages is going to be playing on Cartoon Network on Saturday, December 19th at 6 p.m. So I took to Twitter and asked, will you be tuning in to Hoopa and the Clash of Ages this month on Cartoon Network? And the answer was a resounding yes. So hype.
The other option, of course, was no, not an anime fan.
I was trying to figure out how to, like, say no without giving too many options.
Just say nah.
Nah. I'll use that next time.
Nah. Yeah or nah. Those are the only options you need.
Along with this news, Hoopa's Surprising Ring Adventures is also playing on Pokemon TV Online. This 6 episodes is supposedly the prequel to the movie.
Huh. All right. I should watch that, probably.
Probably.
I need to know what's going on.
So something else Pokemon News with the Nation related is Volcanion is coming, and I think everyone was really hype about it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we had images in Korakora that were showing Volcanion. That was the first indication.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said distribution details to be announced later. We don't know when we're actually going to get Volcanion.
Mm-hmm.
But we also heard news of the Pokemon movie X, Y, and Z 2016. And in that movie, Volcanion is supposed to appear.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw the trailer for the movie December 17th. Link to the trailer in the description, guys, if you want to see it. So I went to Twitter and I said, what are your predictions for Volcanion's role in the next Pokemon movie X, Y, and Z?
Can I first just say, I find it very convenient that I announce a Volcanion theory and then like 4 days later they announce it. I mean, obviously since it was leaked in Korakora, then it had to be like planned way earlier than that. But still, I'm gonna take it as a personal sign. Someone's listening to this show. That's all there is to it. Anyway, you guys don't care about that. The responses. Mavro Trainer. Interesting that Volcanion is both red and blue, which are the two colors usually seen alongside green, which will be Zygarde. Also interesting that Xerneas and Yveltal, I really hope I'm saying that name right, Yveltal, are also red and blue. So Mav, very insightful observation there. At Seabrand Games says, the villain Mon of the next movie that destroys things, but turns out to have a good heart after an epic battle with Zygarde. And, of course, Ash will have to make friends with it, as he does with every other legendary. True, that's true. At Mavro Trainer once again, wasn't there a tale about Volcanion and a desert?
I don't know.
Was there? Hmm, interesting. It was hinted at. I'll say that it was hinted at.
You'll probably get into that later.
I can't disclose information right now because it's part of something. But, Mav, I don't think that you're wrong.
But we're not saying you're right either,
and
I
that's
guess.
That's as cryptic as I'd like to be about that, actually. At Pikachu XYZ, maybe they will pull off a Genesect army and give us a shiny one, or it will possibly have a Heatran-like role.
Okay.
Again?
About that comment, I didn't quite understand it. Maybe that's because I don't know Pokemon that well.
You don't. But we are hitting at some very close-to-home topics for me at the moment. At Samaconda, Kyogre and Groudon are destroying the world. Volcanion awakens and takes them on. Slightly overwhelmed, Zygarde comes to save the day. Yveltal instigated the Groudon-Kyogre fight, and Xerneas seeks out help from everywhere before reaching Zygarde's ears.
That's a very well thought out, like, scenario there.
That was very well planned, I agree. And it's bridging the gap, I kind of like that.
Yeah. The trailer actually shows the Kalos legendary and mythical Pokemon, including shots of Xerneas, Yveltal, Diancie, Hoopa, complete Zygarde form, and then I think it pans into the world, showing you Volcanion on the attack.
Ooh.
Then a shot of Pikachu operating some sort of machinery that looks like clockwork.
Hmm.
So, they didn't give us too much, and I don't speak Japanese, so...
Oh, they gave us a whole lot.
We can only infer certain things from the trailer.
No, they gave us a whole lot.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait till next week when I can actually hear this theory of yours.
You really...
So, if you want to see the trailer, again, it'll be in the description. Moving forward, Holiday Twitter-inspired names has come to Twitter.
Yay!
Which, as you know, we did the... October ones for Halloween, and now we did holiday inspired ones for the holidays.
I had a normal name for like 29 days.
Yeah.
So, now it's different again.
So for blue and yellow, what did we select?
So I want to go on record saying I jokingly said Yellow Snow, and she ran with it. So,
well, there was other people that commented because I was like, what should ours be? Or like, I guess I have to do this because it's a thing. And then they were all giving us suggestions, and Yellow Snow came up at least 3 times.
The night before that we had put this on Twitter, I was like, Yellow Snow. Because, I mean, that's...
I have a sense of humor. I can make fun of myself. It's all in good fun.
So yellow is Yellow Snow. And I am Blue Christmas because retail... got me feeling like, you know, blue.
Isn't that a song, too?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so. Well, ours aren't too imaginative.
It's very meta. So my name is very meta.
I went to Twitter, and I was looking up some of our Twitter followers and friends that we interact with, and I pulled up some of the other ones. So Old Man Tup actually is Old Man Winter. Fun story about this one. He was asking Twitter, and I was on Twitter, and he's like, what should my holiday name be? And I was like, Old Man Christmas. No, that's not it. And so I was like Googling, trying to figure out what this old man, like, blank name I had in my head. And I couldn't think of it. And then somebody must have, like, told him. And I was like, darn it. I was so close.
Aww.
I know. Oh, I almost had it. Because I also inspired some other Kanto Nation Twitter holiday names.
Okay, we get it. Like, you're really smart.
Like the Flying Fiona, I suggested fa la 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 Fiona. Come on, that's funny. Or just really dorky.
Who else did you give a name to, Yellow?
Mavro Trainer.
Oh boy, what was his name?
Mavro Ho Ho.
Hmm.
So some other ones you guys might recognize. Crimson Seabad is now Christmas Seabad. A-Drive is now Santa Drive. Although I think you might say it like Sant... A-Drive? I don't really know how he's pronouncing it. Mighty Mammoth Swine, who we all know as Baby Nick, is now Baby Saint Nick.
Mm,
and Samakunda is now Santakunda.
That was clever.
Another one that we had submitted was Tambourine, and he explained this as Tom/Tambourine is his name. So instead of Tambourine, it is Tom Plays the Bells. Another rhythmic instrument.
That's ironic, and I like that one.
So if you have any Twitter names that you would like to share with us, please let us know your before and after name, and send those at KantoCast.
Yellow just wants to find out if she actually thought of it before you. That's all it is.
No, I just want to hear some good ones. A lot of them just have Christmas or Santa in the names, so if they're different, that's cool.
Well, did you know that Nintendo spent nearly $7 million on TV promotions in November? A large portion of that spending went toward promoting Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon and the new 3DS XL featuring a number of other Nintendo titles. So we asked you guys on Twitter, Nintendo spent nearly $7 million on TV ads in November. Which game did they push the most? Splatoon, Super Mario Maker, Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, or Yo-Kai Watch. Now, initially, okay, I was like, I mean, it's gotta be Super Mario Maker, right? There's no way it's not.
I thought people were gonna say Splatoon because Splatoon just won a bunch of awards.
The results from that poll showed 35% of people going with Splatoon, 26% thinking it's Super Mario Maker, 13% thinking it was Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, and 26% thinking it was Yo-Kai Watch.
So you guys got it wrong.
It was actually Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon.
I know. And then you had Mighty Mammoth Swine just not even take the poll. Just said Smash.
Not an option. Not an option, Nick.
Yeah, so the correct answer, as you know, was Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, which I thought was surprising because it's the holiday season and there were so many other good games that they could be pushing.
Yeah, and I mean, Mario Maker has won a bunch of awards.
But I guess it's technically kind of like sort of a main Pokemon title because there's been other Mystery Dungeon games for Pokemon.
It's not a main title.
But it's I know it's not a main title, but...
It's not.
They had high hopes.
That said, of all the games that we listed, that was like a spin-off, whereas the other were actually like the main series. Yo-Kai Watch obviously doesn't really have any spin-offs, I don't think.
Would you consider the Super Mario Maker like a main game? Because I thought it would
Yeah.
I guess so, but I feel like it's different. It's not like the normal... Like...
Well, it's not like Mario Tennis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a spin-off.
Right.
But it's not like the platformer either.
But it's a platformer.
But it's different because you can't...
But it is.
But it's different.
It's a platformer you build.
But it's different.
And then play as Mario.
What do you guys think?
We literally did that at the same time. Do you guys think Super Mario Maker is a spinoff or part of the main series? Let us know in the comments down below. Or hit us up on Twitter if you feel so inclined.
Well, we do have more Nintendo news, because, as I just mentioned, Nintendo was actually one of the companies featured at the Game Awards for 2015, and they took home Best Multiplayer and Best Shooter with Splatoon, as well as Best Family Game for Mario Maker.
You can now also register for a new Nintendo account in Japan. These accounts would give gamers access to features connecting their Nintendo consoles to other internet-capable devices. Most likely, this account will allow access to the eShop while you're away from your console, and be a point of access for the soon-to-be-released My Nintendo service. The Nintendo account, which connects all your devices, also means the ability for social media connectivity and cloud storage, which sounds an awful lot like what they want the NX to be doing.
Yep.
So,
I think we've covered similar stories in the past, and also with the My Nintendo coming out, the Mii-driven smartphone app Miyamoto is also coming out, and Miyamoto sounds a lot like a social media app where you, like, talk to each other, and that comes out in March.
Just to be clear, she's not saying Miyamoto, she's saying Miimoto.
Miimoto? Was I saying it wrong?
Given the director and creator of Mario, I can understand how you'd be confused about that. But it's Miimoto.
Miimoto.
Not Miyamoto.
No.
Yes.
So I think that's all going to connect together.
Obviously. I've been saying that for like, what, half a year now? How long have we been doing this?
Almost a year.
A long time, right? The NX is going to connect everything. That's why they merged all of the accounts. That's why everything is happening the way it is, because NX.
NX.
Nintendo also has a patent that depicts a controller with freeform display. We have a link to a story about that if you want to see the design. Check that out in the description below. It is a two-handed controller similar to the retro Wii controller, which features an elliptical touchscreen that covers the device's whole top surface. The Nintendo name is not found on the patent itself, but all engineers involved are Nintendo employees. Could this potentially be the new controller for the NX system? I don't know.
It's different because, like the Wii U gamepad, it has a screen on it, but instead of actually having additional buttons, it might be a touchscreen. Like, for the entire controller, which is different.
It is. You know what that also resembles?
What?
A cell phone.
Interesting.
All coming together. Nintendo Mobile.
I think I saw, like, something that kind of looks like buttons, but you manipulate it differently than the normal buttons we've traditionally got. Anyway, if you're interested, look at the link below.
If you're not feeling festive just yet, Snapchat has given Nintendo a filter for the holidays. A happy holidays with Mario and Luigi theme.
So you can send Mario-themed pictures to your friends via Snapchat.
Ouija. Who doesn't feel Christmassy with Ouija in the
background? Now the Nintendo news everyone is waiting for is the Smash Direct.
Oh yeah, that.
That.
I was at work when that happened, okay?
I thought you weren't working, and I was going to suggest we stream it through our Twitch so people could talk about it, because it would be hype like the other one that we did, but you weren't home, and I was sad about it.
Yeah. Well, in case you missed it, or have been living under a rock, there are new characters for the final Smash Direct, and those include Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, which we already knew about, and it's currently available, so if you want that and the Midgar stage, you should definitely go hit that up. I'm pretty sure the servers are fine by now. They were probably all sorts of cluttered initially when it got released. The Corrin character from Fire Emblem, male or female, will also be available in Smash starting in February of next year. So, 2016. The game's already been out in Japan, but Corrin is going to get released in Smash before the actual Fire Emblem Fates games. I don't care. I'm a little upset, but that's okay. And if you guys were ever wondering whatever happened to that poll or that survey that, like, people could vote for their favorite Smash character to, like, get into Smash.
What were the results?
The result came in that Bayonetta evidently won that thing. So Bayonetta is now also going to be available for Smash TBD, because we don't know yet. But evidently it was a very popular choice in Europe, and it scored high overall throughout the world. I don't know, man. I mean, I guess it's cool. The game got, like, revived on the Wii, or the Wii U, one of the two. And, I mean, that's neat, I guess, but I feel like there were some other options.
You know what I thought was most disappointing? The Mii character costumes. They look so weird to me.
Yeah, so you can get a Chocobo hat, Bionic armor, Takamaru outfit from Samurai Warriors 3, Ashley from WarioWare, Gil from Tower of Dryuga, Tails and Knuckles from Sonic, and Geno from Super Mario RPG, which everybody wanted Geno in that game. I'm not even kidding. I voted for Professor Layton, because he knows how to fence, so I mean, that's a thing. But I feel like he'd play pretty similar to a Mii character. Also, he would just, like, point at you and solve a puzzle, and then that would, like, be it.
Maybe his, like, final smash would be some sort of puzzle-related thing.
Ooh! It would be Picross, basically.
the thing that I don't understand.
Come in full circle. I don't understand this final smash. What is it? Anyway, we are also going to be getting some new amiibos that will be released in March of 2016. The 18th, I think, probably. Ryu, Roy, Famicom Rob, which is Rob with, like, a new color variation, and then Bayonetta, Corrin, and Cloud will be getting amiibos in the future, but we don't know when. So, I mean, obviously they're characters, so they're gonna get one. I definitely want all the Fire Emblem ones, just saying.
I'm trying to get you them.
Hint?
I'm trying.
Hint?
If I see them go
Yolo up. Still never got me a birthday present.
You're getting the, probably the new Fire Emblem, and you're probably getting the new, what's the other one,
This is a true test of our relationship.
Bravely Second. That's also coming out.
Hey, Blue, you know these games that you want? Well, happy birthday from like 6 months ago. Here they are. It's basically what you're telling me.
I also got you a new water mug.
A water mug?
Whatever.
What's a water bottle slash cup thing?
I don't know.
If Smash is not your thing and you are more a fan of the Minecraft franchise, then guess what? Good news, because it's on the Wii U right now. It's here. Go get it.
I think it's like $30, and it includes 6 texture packs.
Which sounds like a thing that I should know about.
Do you need me to tell you what's up with the Minecraft stuff?
If you want to.
A physical retail version has not been yet released, but you can only get the download version in the Wii Shop. You can also support 4 local players and up to 8 players online, featuring off-TV play on the gamepad as well. While the gamepad doesn't allow for item management like people wanted it to, it can support voice chat, a USB keyboard, and the Wii U Pro controller.
Hmm.
There has been demand for a Minecraft amiibo, however, we're not sure if we're going to see that in the future. The Wii U version of the game is being published in the United States by Mojang and by Microsoft in Japan, which I thought was different and interesting. I'm not sure why they'd be 2 different companies.
Evidently, Marcus Prussen, who is the creator of Minecraft, had no prior knowledge that Minecraft was headed to the Wii U before it was announced. Interesting.
Keeping yeah, I found a tweet online that he was like, whoa, this is cool, kind of thing.
And evidently, Phil Spencer would be happy to see Nintendo games on Xbox One. So, that's a thing.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
There was already another game.
There's too much bad blood between Rare and Nintendo.
Yeah, there was also other games people were like, hey, this should come to the Wii U, and I don't think they're going to happen. So this is probably just a treat for all you guys who love Minecraft.
And finally, Universal Studios is looking to purchase nearly 500 acres of land, because Nintendo Land is going to be a thing, and it's coming.
I hope so. Would you go? Because we're going to Harry Potter World eventually.
Yeah.
We gotta go to Nintendo Land, Harry Potter World.
Obvi.
I'm sure there's other things other than Harry Potter World down there that I'd want to go to, but I don't know of them yet.
Probably not. Well, if you have made it this far, congratulations. You are now going to be rewarded with talk about VGC 2016.
Extensively.
The format got announced, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. So, if you aren't familiar with VGC 2016, which I imagine most of you probably are at this point, here's a little mini refresher for you. Only Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire game carts will be allowed, or if you don't have the physical cart, you can use the downloadable versions. The battle format is still flat doubles, and players may use Pokemon from the National Pokedex numbers 1 through 720, technically there's 721 now, that are caught in the Generation 6 games, so the Pentagon rule stands. That's what that means. The following Pokemon may not be on a player's team: Mew, Celebi, Jirachi, Deoxys, Fionn, Manaphy, Darkrai, Shaymin, Arceus, Victini, Keldeo, Meloetta, Genesect, Diancie, and Hoopa, also probably Volcanion, throwing it out there. Basically, the mythical Pokemon, which is a subsect of legendary Pokemon. Teams may have no more than two of the following Pokemon: Mewtwo, Lugia, Ho-Oh, Kyogre, Groudon, Rayquaza, Dialga, Palkia, Giratina, Reshiram, Zekrom, Kyurem, Xerneas, Yveltal, and Zygarde. So, only two of those guys. It's kind of similar to the Battle of Legends, I think, that was an online doubles competition not terribly long ago.
I think it was early 2015.
Yeah, where you got to pick from any of the legendaries, you get to bring two, and it was basically VGC rules on top of that. Pokemon must be placed in the battle box. That is true if you're going to do regional or higher level competition. Pokemon are still allowed to Mega Evolve. You can use any item except Soldew. Can't use Soldew. And no duplicate items as well. Pokemon above level 50 are permitted, but they are auto-leveled down to 50 for the duration of the battle. Players may use Pokemon with hidden abilities, again, so long as they fit the Pentagon rule. Players may use items that have been officially released via Pokemon X, Pokemon Y, Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, the Pokemon Global Link, or an official event or promotion. So, if you get the Relic Gold Delibird, you can have one of your Pokemon hold Relic Gold, I guess, if that's important to you. I think everything's pretty much been released except for, like, some of the Relic Gold. And then maybe, like, some gems. I think some gems are also not allowed. Because I don't think those have been in Gen 6. I don't know. Time limits for battles will vary by event. At major events, regional championships, and above, battles will have a 15-minute time limit, 45-second move timer, and a 90-second team preview. We also have some links in the description if you want to check out more VGC 2016 comment from people who are probably a lot smarter than us. Feel free to go check that out. Stuff from like Nugget Bridge, Pokemon.com, all of that stuff in the description. Feel free to go check it out. Probably the most useful things that you'll find is the VGC Speed Tiers article that was released by Nugget Bridge. Super handy to have.
More information about Pokemon World Championships was released before they released the 2016 rules, and it is going to be taking place August 19th through the 21st in San Francisco, California at the Marriott Marquis Hotel.
I think now would be a good time to bring up, because we've had a lot of people ask us, are you going to be at Worlds? Maybe.
We would like to be.
I don't know if I'm going to go as a competitor, because securing your Pokemon Worlds invite also got released. If you're looking to lock up a Worlds invite this year, North American players in the Masters Division must acquire 350 championship points, seniors 325, and juniors 200. In Europe, masters need 275, seniors need 200, and juniors need a measly 100 championship points.
They must not have a big pool of players.
In Latin America, masters need 150, seniors at 100, juniors at 100. Asia Pacific, masters 200, seniors 150, juniors 100. South Africa, masters 400, seniors 400, and juniors 400.
That really confused me.
Some players will earn an invitation that allows them to advance directly to Day 2 without playing in Friday's rounds. These invitations will also include travel awards. Day 2 invitations are divided by rating zone as follows. The top 8 players from the US and Canada rating zone, top 16 from Europe, top 4 from Latin America, and the top 4 from Asia Pacific. Players in Japan and South Korea will be awarded both Friday invitations and Day 2 invitations as determined by each country's organization play system. Players in Japan and South Korea will be awarded both Friday invitations and Day 2 invitations as determined by each country's organized play system. Players with invitations from the 2015 World Championships will play on Friday unless they qualify for Day 2 based on championship points. The tournament is run in 3 phases over 3 days. The number of Swiss rounds will depend on total attendance at the event, and Swiss rounds will use the best-of-3 game format. So saddle up, because it's going to be a long day. Saturday Swiss rounds for players who earned Day 2 invitation and players who advanced from Friday. This will be a new tournament. Match records from Friday will not carry forward, and players are not required to use the same team they played with on Friday. Late Saturday, a top cut of players with no more than 2 losses, with no ties, will compete in single elimination rounds. These rounds will use best-of-3 game format. And then the finals will be on Sunday.
The VGC 2016 Regional Championship locations were updated to include winter and spring. Most of them have been confirmed, but there are ones like Kansas in the spring, basically May, that has not been confirmed yet. So I'll go ahead and read those for you. Dowswell, Virginia, February 13th through the 14th.
Gonna try and go to that.
Anaheim, California, February 21st through the 22nd. Collinsville, Illinois, February 21st through the 22nd. Kissimmee, Florida, February 26th to the 28th.
Also gonna try and go to that one.
Clackamas, Oregon, 27th to the 28th, February, of course. And then in the spring, most of them are taking place in May. Seattle, Washington, May 14th to the 15th. Madison, Wisconsin, May 21st to the 22nd. Athens, Georgia, May 21st to the 22nd.
Might try and go to that one.
Salt Lake City, Utah, May 28th to the 29th. And this just says Massachusetts, so I don't know that they've confirmed a location. May 28th to the 29th.
If you guys recall, that was Sturbridge last year.
Edmonton, Alberta, which is TCG only in Canada, is taking place on May 28th. And then also likely Kansas, and we still don't have any details on that.
So I got my eye on 3. Virginia, Florida, and then Georgia.
We'll see. We'll see.
Maybe.
So we took to Twitter again and wanted to know what your VGC 2016 questions are. And Blue will be answering some of those. So we'll go right on into what you guys want to know about 2016 VGC format.
I gotta get some water first. This is going to be intense.
Is your voice already going?
Well, we've been talking for almost an hour, so yes. And we probably have another hour left.
Yeah, let me see if I can not mess up all of your questions. We're going to be drinking some tea with honey later.
Red leather, yellow leather. I'm ready.
All right, Far Dreamer asks, will this also give people who gen a huge advantage now over those of us that don't? Maybe I'm missing something, but this just seems like an insane idea to me. It just makes it even more unbalanced. Along with this question, Agreeable Chap asks, yeah, it's certainly going to make getting competitive viable stuff a lot more of a time commitment. Comments?
So, they've done this before, where they've allowed legendaries, and that was back in 2010. I did my homework. And also, I think Gabby and I talked about it. Maybe not in the interview, but just in passing back when we did that interview. It's true that genning gives an advantage in terms of legendary usage, but it might be important to keep in mind that players have been doing this for years now. The whole genning thing is not really anything new, and given that Landorus and Thundurus were such huge pieces of 2015, and Heatran was big too, I mean, they weren't really soft resetting for those guys. I don't want to ruin your worlds, but it's not coincidence that nearly every Thundurus has hidden power ice. It doesn't come stock like that. It's, I mean, top competitors gen sometimes. It's a thing. I don't think it's going to be all that different, honestly. You're gonna be more cognizant of it. That said, given the recent developments in checks for genning and hacking on Battlespot, I think they might try and develop a more sophisticated method for checking those things during the actual events. Maybe not PCs, just because it's like, well, like when I went to my PC, they were like, oh, does your Pokemon know this move? Okay, so you're not lying to us on your sheet that you wrote down. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff, you know. Does it have a weird Pokeball that you can't get in gen, you know, stuff like that. But definitely at like regional level and higher, maybe. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're going to get more sophisticated with the checks. Because Pokemon's very anti-gen. We all know that for sure. But I think that's kind of going to be the next step. They're going to increase some form of check for genning. Okay. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that.
Okay. Well, the next question we have is from @TonyWiseU, I believe is how it's said. It's like the Pokemon Company wanted to make a VGC format where a CantoCast Blues Dark Pulse Air Balloon Heatran could thrive.
Yes. yeah, I agree. DP AB Heatran is potentially going to make an appearance. Maybe at some official event? I don't know. But Heatran in general is still pretty viable for 2016, specifically because it's a good counter for Xerneas. Fire Steel type is something that fairies just can't really touch, even if they are boosted, unless they have like Hidden Power Ground or something like that, maybe. But I don't think that's something that they want to tango with, so who knows? Maybe Dark Pulse Air Balloon Heatran will make an appearance. We'll have to see.
@MattyB410 asks, how are you going to deal with the legendary Pokemon, and what Pokemon will suit the meta best?
So, I'm personally going to prep for legendaries no different than I would for other Pokemon. Basically, like, in my opinion, what they've done by allowing legendaries is they've mixed up move pools and then increased the offensive output. So, the legendaries that are allowed are pretty much powerhouses, so it's sort of no different than prepping for Mega Kangaskhan, in my opinion, if you're going to run Calcs. Then you obviously want to base the damage calcs off of something really strong. So, if I have a Pokemon that I need to take hits, I'm going to run calcs against powerhouse legendaries, just like I did for Khan, and I'm going to build EV spreads that way. In terms of legendaries in the meta, I think weather is going to dominate, primarily, obviously. So, Rayquaza, Groudon, Kyogre. Now that Sand and Hail are pretty much useless. I mean, you can still run it, but the second you see a Groudon or Kyogre, your weather is automatically outclassed. So the odds of somebody running Primal Weather, or Rayquaza for that matter, it's definitely there. And given that Rayquaza has to Mega Evolve for the weather to set, your instant setter is probably going to get outclassed. So, yeah. Regular weather, not going to be a thing. Primal weather is definitely here to stay, literally, because you can't really get rid of it without another primal weather.
All right, well, the next question we have is from Senior Sableye. What do you think the most used support mons will be and why? I think we understand the OG legends and megas.
So, support Pokemon are going to be huge this season. In 2014, 2015, we saw a lot of balance between power and support on teams, I think. Like Prankster, Thundurus, Megacon, obviously being a huge powerhouse. Bulky variants of both Landorus and Heatran as opposed to offensive variations of the two, like switch it up. Towards the end of 2015, though, I think we saw more speed control specifically, but with the 2016 allowing crazy strong legendaries, I think the offensive power is going to be pretty much obvious in terms of what's run, even though you have more choices. So the real creativity is going to come from support Pokemon. I am willing to bet that we will see more Prankster users pop up, specifically with Taunt. Obviously, we have, you know, more setup potential with Pokemon like Xerneas. Bulky legendaries are scary, so I think that will give rise to Taunt being more prevalent. We'll also see more speed control like Tailwind and Trick Room. archetypes that control weather will probably be more common. Moves and abilities like Cloud9 and Simple Beam that can, you know, kind of take away weather potential could also be kind of big. Wide Guard and Telepathy are some other moves and abilities I think we'll see more of. Specifically now with, like, Primal attacks that hit, like, everything. That's definitely going to be more useful to people. Because Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre are definitely going to get run. Redirection, I think, is another thing that is going to pick up in popularity. I mean, it was big, kinda-ish, but I think it's going to be almost more necessary now. I know a lot of people are afraid of things like Skill Swap and Transforming Smeargle, for example, but Rage Powder and Follow Me will actually redirect that. So if they're trying to get their weather back up with Skill Swap, you now have, like, Regenerator or, I don't know, Serene Grace instead. Or if you have a Smeargle that's transforming, guess what? You're now an Amoongus. Sorry. No double Xerneas for you, sir or madam. So that would be a good way to kind of counter players who try to copy boost or keep weather in their favor. The Pokemon themselves can be pretty diverse, I think, but those are the archetypes that I think we'll see more of in general.
The next question comes from at Kurokiyun VGC. Kurokiyun VGC, also known as Sam, by the way.
Glad to have you here, Sam.
We'll call you Sam. Asks, favorite and least favorite new legend in the format?
Okay. So my favorite, I think, is kind of a tie between Giratina and Kyurem. And I know people are probably like, that's a really weird answer. Why are you saying that?
Why are you saying that, Blue?
I still think Landorus and Thundurus are going to be, like, huge in 2016. Just the Intimidate support and then, you know, Prankster T-Wave and stuff. And then the builds that you can be diverse. Like, they're good. And I don't use them for a reason, but they're good. And I probably should use them. But that said, having some, like, genuinely strong stab ice offense is going to be huge. Giratina, to me, is really underrated because it has a lot of power potential and its support move pool is really big. Like, I've been doing some testing and I've actually been using Giratina as my Tailwind setter. It's worked out pretty well, too, and I liked it. So I'm pretty excited for Giratina, mostly. If I had to give a slight edge, it would be Giratina, even though I really like Kyurem.
You do tend to like some oddball things sometimes. I do, yeah.
Why didn't you say Dialga? Well, I don't know. Because I don't have a good one, mostly. My Dialgas are bad. I should probably catch more of them, actually. I should do that. I should go on legendary hunts. That's what I should do. Least favorite? I don't really have one. I don't have a least favorite. Honestly, most of the legendaries aren't that scary to me. Because they're pretty straightforward, so I can't see any of them being too annoying to deal with. Like, I'll take on power hitters. I have no issue with that. Throw something, like, really crafty and irritating to play against, and I'm just like, I'm so done. So, the Pokemon like that are the ones that I don't... Like, Smeargle. I hate Smeargle so much because it's like, well, you don't really know exactly what it's going to do, but it's going to be really annoying. So that's Smeargle. And yeah, there are no legendary Smeargles except kind of Mew, but not really. But Mew's not allowed, so it's not really a thing. It's just a new power level, honestly, that you kind of have to get used to for the 16 meta.
Well, we do have a question about one of your favorite Pokemon, and this one comes from at the Flying Fiona. What does this change mean for Arcanine?
I am so glad that someone asked this question. It is a very important question, and it is very near and dear to my heart. I still think Arcanine is going to be solid, but we're going to see more rain teams, and pairing him with Groudon in sun teams, while would be cool, would give you multiple ground weaknesses, so that's a thing. I mean, it could still be pretty solid against stuff given the right pairing, I guess, maybe.
There's a lot of maybes coming out of your mouth. I'm sure you're going to try to figure out a way to use Arcanine, regardless of whether or not it's great or not.
Arcanine has actually not been on my list.
Really?
For 2016 viables. That said, I'm still very hopeful.
You're always hopeful for your favorite Pokemon.
I love Arcanine, though. It's so cool. Oh, he's so good.
We have more questions about viable Pokemon, so let's continue with at Senior Sableye asks, what Mega and Legendaries do you think have the best synergy and why?
So, Megas that pair really well with weather, I think, will definitely shine, but ultimately, I mean, the synergy is pretty universal. You've got standouts like the Gen 3 trio and diversity with Mewtwo being either Mega Mewtwo X or Y, but I mean, when it comes down to is pretty much type coverage. I think we're moving into a new level of offensive power in the meta, so type coverage is going to be a lot bigger, I think. So the more type coverage a pairing can get, the better, if that makes sense. If that makes sense to you guys. Like, there's going to be so many heavy hitters now that stuff isn't going to be able to take hits as long. You know, if you can take out threats more easily by having a more diverse attack coverage, then, you know, the sooner you get that first KO on your opponent and take out a huge offensive threat, the better off you'll be. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Well, you touched a little bit about the shenanigans you might see, and we have a question from Hank the Pidgey that asks, how viable / common do you figure Ditto and Transform Smeargle will be?
Hank, with the hard-hitting questions. I also want to make a note that Hank is the only one to bring up Smeargle and Ditto in this question.
Extravaganza. Yeah.
It'll be viable, definitely. Like I mentioned before, the shenanigans will be a thing that people try, just like they did in 2015 with Kang. I mean, Dark Void Smeargle is so brokenly good that, I mean, people are going to do it. So, I mean, it's still gonna be around, but the power potential is a lot greater in 2016, so it'll probably be something more common than it was in previous years. But also, like I said, there will be counters to it. So, they're just new threats that we need to be prepped for, and that's kind of the only difference. Instead of having, like, two Mega Kangaskhans at +2 from Power Up Punch, you're now gonna have, like, two Primal Kyogres, or two Geomancied Xerneas or something like that. Like, it's just going to be double the same threat, kind of. But yeah, it's definitely going to be around. Don't be surprised when you see double Xerneas. Like, it's a thing. It's going to happen.
Well, kind of on that note, but maybe not really. We have a question from Mavro Trainer who asks, I have mixed emotions, probably him speaking on how he feels about the new format. But the question is, do you think this will make the format more enjoyable or cause balance issues?
So I may have already alluded to this, but in terms of balance, I think it's actually going to be better. I know. Everybody calm down. With Megas, a lot of players relied on Kang to be their primary firepower, but with Primal Reversion being allowed in addition to Mega Evolution, I think we'll see different Mega usage. So there will probably be a lot less Kang users than there were before. There's still going to be Mega Kangaskhan users because Mega Kangaskhan is broken, obviously, but not as many, which is cool because I really want to see Mega Glade be good, even though I don't think this is really the year for him. Although he does get Wide Guard. Is he going to be able to take a hit? Probably not, but that doesn't matter if it's a Wide Guard move. But then he's also not really doing anything. It makes me sad. I wish Mega Glade was better.
You're just trying so hard with Glade.
Yeah.
The next question we actually got as an email, because it was so long.
Yes. And it was a good email, too.
Yeah, it even quoted you. That's how good it was.
I mean, that's not why it was good.
Well, okay. But the goodness comes with me trying to read it without messing it all up. So, RavingBadger90, also known as Garrett, emails, my concerns are this. 1. With the introduction of even more powerful Pokemon into the format, what is going to stop it from stagnating again? However, instead of Chalk, it will be Rayquaza, Primal Kyogre, and Groudon, and Lugia in your case. Ha ha ha.
I wish. My Lugia's bad.
Same problems, different Pokemon. 2. This format will encourage generating or hacking Pokemon. There is absolutely no way that thousands of individuals will be running around with legitimate 5/6 IV legendary Pokemon. In conjunction with that, I do not want to battle people who gen or buy their teams. when I have put hours into breeding and training up competitive, I use that term loosely, smiley face, Pokemon that will get curb stomped. It really puts me off to going to PCs and regionals. This is a detriment to the community at large. I do not get to meet cool podcast hosts and other Pokemon lovers. This is a large amount of thoughts that I'm just getting around to processing because of adult life. So in summation, 1, same chalk problem, just legendary Pokemon now. 2, generating hacked slash purchased teams. 3, potential damage to community, more of a personal issue, but I'm guessing I'm not alone.
So, first of all, Garrett's actually really good. I was at a PC with him where he did pretty well. So don't sleep on Garrett if you ever play the Raving Badger. Second, I don't really know what podcast host you're talking about because we're not cool. But the compliment is...
appreciated?
It's very much appreciated, yeah.
All the appreciations.
All of them. Thirdly, I love the fact that you included the emojis that were in the email. So I think we'll see a standard core develop, but because the weather temptation is so strong, I think we'll see different cores. For example, a Groudon core, a Rayquaza core, a Dialga core. Rather than it being chalk plus a fifth Pokemon, I think we'll see a standard core of 3 or 4 based around archetypes over specific Pokemon. So, different types of teams that are standardized. Which is kind of crazy, because then it's just like, can my team beat your team? Not so much, should I run Power Up Punch Kang, or should I run Protect Kang? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that type of stuff? Yeah. It's, yeah. Anyway, the only way for the meta to not be standardized is to have a completely balanced format, and that's honestly pretty impossible for it to be 100% balanced. But with the new format, I think greater creativity potential is a real thing. So that's kind of hopeful for me, at least. In terms of genning and stuff, I already kind of mentioned that this would probably be a little more prevalent, but ultimately it's not really any different than what it already is. Because, I mean, again, if you're trying to get an HP Ice Thundurus, you're going to gen it. Okay, are you going to breed the other 5 Pokemon on your team? I mean, probably not. If you do, cool.
Good for you.
I think, you know, when you're genning one, you're kind of wasting your time breeding 5 other ones.
Maybe it's like a mental thing. Like, they don't feel like they're doing such a bad thing if they only do one.
I mean, genning's not, like, bad in general.
Depending on your feelings.
Yeah. I know it's a hot button debate. But, you know, I understand both sides. I really do. But, you know, again, I'm hopeful that checks will get more developed for that. Just because if Pokemon wants to save or preserve their reputation of not being a competitive game based on hacking, because that's kind of what it is, then they're definitely going to want to kind of weed that out better. And maybe the community falls a little bit from that. I think the majority of players would breed and keep playing, or, you know, soft reset for good legendaries and keep playing, rather than just be like, well, this is too much time. I don't think you'll see as many different teams throughout the year or the season, but I don't think it would completely dismantle the player pool, I guess, for lack of a better term.
I feel like that debate's been going on for a while about making breeding mechanics a little bit more accessible and then cracking down on the hacking. It's right. Still the same conversation.
And I mean, it has gotten better. It really has. I mean, now you're guaranteed to get at least 3 IVs on a legendary that you find in Gen 6. Like, before, that was not a thing. So, you had to soft reset. At least this time, you're guaranteed to get at least 3 perfect IVs. And then, you know, with synchronized ability, you can have a 50% chance of getting the right nature. It's just, it's a lot of work. It is. I totally get that. But as far as the community goes, I think Pokemon will do its best to maintain damage control against stuff like that. And like I said, I'd be surprised to see Pokemon not have checks developed to discourage genning and buying teams and stuff like that. Because that overall, that hurts their image more. That you have to go in and digitally manipulate the game to make it playable and competitive and, you know, level playing field. Like, that's not good. That's not good rep for Pokemon when they're trying to advance their competitive game.
Well, let's speak a little bit more about Chalk. At Maverick Trainer also asks, will we have to adjust the way we make teams like we had to for Chalk?
First of all, Mav has very good points and excellent questions, so I welcome them, all of them. Chalk, yeah. So, Chalk is not so much a thing as it is an idea. And with the new format, you're going to have ideas that are primarily dominant. So, like I said, with the game becoming more standardized in terms of archetypes rather than actual six Mon teams, like, we're gonna see more standardized archetypes. So, in a way, we as players have to be more prepared for different types of teams rather than, you know, the standardized calcing that goes on. Like, can I survive a +2 return from a Mega Kangaskhan that's either Jolly or Adamant? Like, it's not gonna be so much that as how do I keep my Sun team from falling to this Kyogre rain? Like, you know what I mean? And with that in mind, I think 2016 is going to be a lot more difficult a format than the previous years.
Speaking to some of the teams you might see in 2016, at Seabrand Games asks, with Weather Wars becoming an obvious staple in the game, which will take over, and with so many weather changes, is it even worth it to bring weather-dependent abilities like Chlorophyll?
Yeah, weather is going to dominate. I'm pretty sure I said that already. If not, yes, weather is probably going to dominate. I mean, how can it not, right? The temptation is just too strong. You have Primal Reversion, which is allowed in addition to Mega Evolving. So, I mean, if you're not going to run a weather team, then you're kind of missing out a little bit, honestly. Because that, I mean, that's some real power that you're just kind of just opting not to have. That said, cohesive abilities like Swift Swim and Chlorophyll are still things that will exist and that should exist because it's still Sun and Rain teams. They're just kind of permanent, for lack of a better explanation. If you're going to run Rain or Sun, you should still bring those types of Pokemon with you. It's more or less just more important for you to keep weather up on your side more now than it was previously, mainly because Primal Weather can't just be like overpowered by regular weather setters. So, like with my weird rain team, for example, I had two weather setters. I had T-Tar and then I had Politoed. So if my rain went down to a Charizard that Mega Evolved into Y and set up Sun, boom, send out Tyranitar and take care of business. You can't really do that anymore. So, I mean, unless you have Groudon or Kyogre or Rayquaza, any combination of those two with you, then that would be a thing. But, I mean, ultimately, it's still the same weather game. It's just more crucial, I think, for you to keep weather up on your own side.
Well, our next question is also a little bit about Chalk. At Pat from Palette says, my question would be, how does the addition of the new legendaries in VGC really get us away from the Chalk? We are pretty much guaranteed to see most teams with one Mega, one Primal, and still possibly the Genies, Amoongus, and the normal VGC Chalk. Is this new format change really a change that will create more creativity, or will it just be harder to beat in the new 2016 Chalk? Plus, with the change, how much will the usage now affect the Smogon tiers? With some Ubers being made VGC legal, what Pokemon will see a drop-off in competitive play?
So I think I've beaten this question to a pulp at this point, but I mean, it's worth exploring because Chalk was so dominant for a couple years that, I mean, it's understandable that people would be afraid of the game just continuing to be sort of stale in the same way. But that said, I think it's going to be archetype versus archetype rather than chalk versus chalk. However, Pat does pose an interesting question because previously the tiers system and the official VGC format have been sort of segregated, mainly because for several years VGC players haven't had access to use most of the Pokemon competitively available at various Smogon tiers. But now there's a little more overlap, which is interesting. Granted, singles and doubles formats result in different move sets and usage, but I think the two communities can kind of help inspire each other now in regards to using these newly allowed Pokemon in different ways. Because, like, when I was initially doing, you know, drafting for a team, I would actually go on to Smogon and look at sets and just see how people were running stuff. Granted, the tiers didn't really matter, but I was interested to see who came up with a creative set for, like, I don't know, Banette. I would have to adapt it to a double scenario for, like, status moves and stuff like that. But, you know, it was still interesting to get someone's insight on it. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of cool. I don't think the tiers will change up all that much, but with more players working on the same Pokemon now, I think we'll see them used in different ways in both formats.
Well, I think the next question kind of speaks in the opposite of what you were just talking about. So, at FireB44 asks, even with so many legendary Pokemon available, will there still only be a select few that are used?
I mean, there will probably be some standouts like Dialga, Kyogre, and Rayquaza, Groudon, like those guys. But ultimately, I think we have creative enough players to keep things diverse. I mean, that's about as short and sweet an answer as I can get. You're going to see certain Pokemon emerge that help counter other legendaries better than others, like Dialga, because its typing is really advantageous most of the time. But I think we'll be creative enough to keep things fresh. I'm hopeful for that.
I think we actually have an article in the description that might help answer this next question. But Senior Sableye asks, what do you think the best form of speed control will be and their best setters?
So, same rules apply. Icy Wind, Trick Room, Tailwind, and Thunder Wave. Trick Room Kyogre teams could actually be pretty devastating. Bulky setters are probably going to be, like, the best options for Trick Room and Icy Wind. Pranksters for things like Tailwind and Thunder Wave. Although bulky setters, you know, also have a good shot at Thunder Wave and Tailwind, too. Prankster Tornadus could really shine with Mega Rayquaza's ability, too. But, I mean, ultimately, bulky supports could be pretty huge this season, I think.
Our next question also asks more on Blue's thoughts about which Pokemon should be used.
Oh, no.
At MattyB410 asks, how will you deal with the legendary Pokemon in the new VGC rules, and what Pokemon will be most viable to use?
I mean, my game plans haven't really changed. Like, I always like to have control over the Pokemon stats, so relying on random IVs with caught legendaries rather than breeding is kind of scary for me. But ultimately, I'm just, you know, I'm calculating for new threats and developing an archetype that could suit my playstyle. It's, you know, probably revolving around speed control like I have been. Every Pokemon is somewhat viable to an extent, I think, so I mean, you just have to build the core of your team and then troubleshoot Pokemon that work well with it as you're developing. So, for a starting point, the Gen 3 trio is always a good place to start, just because weather is probably going to be pretty dominant.
The next question is a little bit about one of the playstyles that you see on teams. At D. O'Brien VGC asks, with Cress and Dialga being prominent in the early 2016 VGC meta, how will Trick Room popularity compare with 2015?
I think a lot of people were really surprised at the potential of Trick Room, like mid to late VGC 2015. Given that it did become more popular, I think we'll just see players develop plays with Trick Room more so. For example, Trick Room Kyogre, which I alluded to earlier, with Shadow Tag Goth. Like, let's say you have Groudon and your opponent has Kyogre, so you know it's going to be a weather war. You either lead with your weather and hope that you're slower so that your ability activates last, or hope that your opponent doesn't lead Kyogre and, you know, you get control over that first. Either way, if your opponent leads Kyogre Goth, you can't switch in to get rid of the rain if you chose not to lead Groudon, and your ability will probably activate before your opponent's Kyogre, given that it's part of a Trick Room team and therefore is made to be slower. So, in that sense, I think we'll see Trick Room become much more commonly seen with weather to kind of help control the initial set, followed by controlling pace of play. So I think Trick Room Trap with weather Trick Room Trap, really, that's a lot. That could definitely be like an archetype that we'll see.
Well, the next questions we have are actually a little bit about Megas. At Seabrand Games asks, are there any Mega Pokemon that were previously uncommon that will become common in the new format. As well, Mighty Mamoswine asks, how viable will Mamo be in 2016? Probably one of the most important questions.
Clearly.
And he also asks, what/any Megas will see a use increase? And finally, one of the most important questions Mighty Mamoswine asks, what will you say when I beat you at Florida? I would like an answer to the Florida question.
Okay.
So there's kind of a hodgepodge of questions going on there.
Yeah, that was a mixture. We combined some questions that were similar, and Chase and Nick both really want an answer to this Florida question. So let me take them as they come. Mamoswine could be more viable. Ice and ground attacks are going to be more useful for sure, with, you know, the genies still being relevant, and you know, Rayquaza still having that ×2 ice weakness, even with the strong winds ability. And then, you know, Groudon with the ground it's only weakness, actually, once Primal Sun gets set up. So, I mean, they're still pretty useful, just like they were in 2015, just more so, I think, in my opinion. It's honestly preference during the early stages in development. So, as the new meta builds, I honestly just play with what you like. What you think would be fun or creative, use it, and then just adjust as you go. This is kind of like uncharted territory for a lot of players, so definitely use this time to take advantage of that, for sure. Megas that might see an increase in usage, I guess, like Mega Heracross, maybe. Bullet Seed for Kyogre could be a thing. Mega Ampharos on Kyogre rain teams could be interesting. Obviously, Mega Rayquaza, the Mega Mewtwo's could be interesting, probably.
There's a lot of interesting things going on, aren't there?
Fighting offense is usually pretty handy, actually, so Mega Mewtwo X could be a thing. I ran it during the Circle of Legends, and it put in a lot of work. I think that's one of the underrated Megas that we probably won't see a whole lot of, unfortunately. In regards to what I'll say when Nick beats me in Florida, I assume Nick would have to make that answer up for me, given that the only way he's beating me at Florida is either in his dreams or his own personal fantasy.
Wow.
So, yeah. I'm just kidding. No, I'm probably going to be too sore to say anything from the butt-kicking I'll be getting from people like Wolf and Gabby, so if you need to find me, just go check the corner. I'll be in the fetal position on the floor. yeah.
Well, our next question's about weather. At NB Choning asks, what are some good counters to the weather threats and Xerneas?
I might have answered questions like this already, but Cloud9 and Simple Beam, and then other primal weathers, obviously, are good counters to weather. Xerneas is a little trickier to play around. Faster knockoff users to get rid of, like, the power herb that lets you set up in one turn. Prankster taunt users could be pretty handy to keep it from setting up. Or, if you want to be super cool, you can trap it in its Geomancy with Encore and then disable it, so it has to switch out, and then it can't set up again because it already used its power herb. Like, that could be a thing. Anything to really counter Pokemon that like to set up, I think, will still be relevant. Because, I mean, that's primarily what Xerneas will try and do most of the time. Especially if you see stuff with transform ability. Like, they're going to try and capitalize that for themselves. So, that's a thing.
Well, we are now down to the final question. And this is probably one that VGC lovers everywhere is going to ask themselves when making their 2016 team.
Woo! Let's do it.
Fardreamer101 asks, are teams that don't run legendary Mon still viable? I hate using legendaries.
Thank you. Thank you, Fardreamer. I don't really like using legendaries either. In fact, throughout 2015, I did not use any legendaries, aside from, you know, the competitions where I kind of had to. I've never used genies. I've never used, you know, the Heatrans. I've never used Cresselia. Like, I've not used any of those in standard VGC format.
Not in standard. I was going to say, you've used Air Balloon Heatran.
Obviously, I've used Air Balloon Heatran. Duh. No, but, like, stand, like, I've never taken them to, like, a PC or a regional or on the battle spot ladder. Like, I've not done that. Now I kind of have to, which is alluding to my point here. Legendary list teams are totally still an option so long as you have an answer for permaweather and the sheer power that legendaries have over the regular Pokemon. If you think about it, Mega Pokemon were kind of like a legendary Pokemon for your team stat-wise, so getting two limited legendaries as additions to your team don't really change that much. For example, think about Team Preview, okay? You see two legendaries and a Mega on the team you're facing, then three others. It's probably not terribly difficult to guess which Pokemon on your opponent will bring, given what he's seeing from your team that they're previewing. So, game theory still holds a place in the meta, which means you can still outmaneuver your opponent and their legendaries without the use of your own. Like, that's a thing. Probably. I hope. The only thing I caution, and I caution strongly, is not opting to use the legendaries that are allowed does put you at a disadvantage. I mean, given that you have a Mega Pokemon and your opponent basically has a potential of three stat-wise, that's going to hurt you a little bit. But again, I don't think it's impossible to compete without using legendaries. It's just going to be tougher, but it's definitely possible.
Isn't there a way for someone to take a team that they really enjoyed in 2015 and kind of look at what's available now to them and plug in Pokemon that fill similar roles?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've been toying around with the idea of putting Mega Metagross on a rain team with Primal Kyogre.
So there's still hope.
Yeah.
For the 2015 lovers out there.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, specifically with Mega Metagross, the only thing that's really going to hurt it terribly bad is going to be Dark-type attacks and Ground attacks, and they're going to be Stab, because Primal Rain gets rid of Fire. So, I mean,
I feel like that's the biggest concern of people, is trying to figure out how they're going to build their teams, because it seems so, like, different.
It's very different, and, I mean, it's going to take some time. It's still early, so VGC 2015 really ultimately didn't develop until around U.S. Nationals last year. That's when we saw, like, the massive chalk that happened. So, I mean, it's going to take a while for this to really catch on. So, if you're slightly below the curve, don't worry about it. I'm right there with you. We'll get through it together.
It'll be interesting to look back to this episode, like, a year from now and be like, wow,
I was completely wrong. Yeah, no. I mean, VGC 2015 was a really good year for me. I had Weird Rain, and I had Mega Metagross, and, you know, the three seasons I played in Battle Spot, I got into the 1700s, you know, I placed relatively high, I did well, and now none of that matters.
Are you concerned?
No, I'll figure it out.
It's the same game.
We're here for each other, we will all figure it out together, don't worry about it. It's just different, and we have to get used to it. I think it's more of a shock now because the meta didn't really change between 14 and 15. And now 16 is like, was it Scott Glossa that made the 6 Mewtwo promo for Worlds? That's not even a thing anymore. How about 6 Mewtwo? I mean, you still can't play against 6 Mewtwo, but definitely one. That's a possibility.
I would totally make that team just because I think that just is still funny.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be fine, I promise.
If you have any more questions for Blue, you can always hit him up on Twitter.
Yes.
Or send us an email or whatever you guys like to communicate
with. All of that information is in the description. Feel free to use it. Feel free to use it.
Well, I think it's time for that part of the episode where we wind down and do
the Citizen of the Week.
The Follow Me Citizen of the Week.
Because my voice is starting to go badly. Anywho, so this citizen joined us way back in October, and he, I assume it's a he, based on the name alone, I think he's super fan level.
He's pretty active.
I think he's super fan level.
He sent in some team reviews.
Also, Yellow has a strong bond with this particular mascot.
Sableye.
Yeah, and obviously you know that it's Senior Sableye. Senior Sableye, you are our Follow Me Citizen of the Week.
Congratulations.
This week. And your Twitter link will be in the description below. Feel free to give out a round of internet high fives in honor of Senior Sableye. I'm talking to you guys in the nation. If you haven't checked out Senior Sableye yet, you should. Cool dude. Go give him a follow. Say what's up. I'm sure you guys know who he is at this point. This has been long overdue. It has been. So, congratulations again, Senior Sableye.
And now for the wrap-up of the episode. We have a lot of Kanto Nation, Kanto Cast-type newsy stuff.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure, because I wrote the notes.
Oh, yeah.
So, first thing I'd like to announce is I will be rebooting the Instagram. Woo! Which means some things will change and some things will leave and some stuff is coming. Look to see a more polished and on-brand Instagram. And so that means you'll also see a flood of stuff about past episodes. I want to make sure we get all of the Kanto Nation covered in the Instagram before we start off 2016.
Woo! We also have some website updates. New events section, including major Pokemon events like regionals, nationals, worlds, etc., global link competitions, and any future hashtag Kanto Nation events. You can check it out there. The events section is where you will find information on all event type content. We will slowly be adding articles and editorials to the website in 2016 under the renamed article section.
It used to be named news. And
it used to be.
And now it is not.
It's not.
Because it's not the same stuff.
It will include updated winter and spring regionals list.
Yeah, that's the new thing that's headed to the website because we just found out about it.
Hmm.
Also, the Nation section is still taking write-ins for Pokemon event stories. Sadly, we only have one. But now that the new season is starting, basically winter and spring, we want to hear about your attendance and participation at Pokemon events.
We also added a Citizen of the Week to the Nation section, so now you can find a list of citizens from every episode, and if you would like your name removed from the list, or you have changed it, feel free to let us know, and we will get that taken care of for you.
An updated About section is coming to the website. I'm going to be adding iTunes reviews quotes. iTunes review quotes? Yeah, I think that's it. And I also updated my non-Pokemon game answer in the bio. Do you want to guess what it is? Because you don't even know.
What, your favorite?
What Pokemon game I would play if I couldn't play Pokemon for the rest of my life or something like that.
Oh.
Whatever that question is.
Probably Mario Kart.
Yes, it's yeah. Mario Kart. Darn, now you guys don't go to the website and find out.
Spoilers. Spoilers too late. Whoops.
We also added a shop button to the navigation bar, which will take you to our Redbubble shop. It's something we didn't announce previously because we did it on a whim.
We did, yeah.
Over Black Friday, they had a big sale going on, and we introduced that on Twitter, and we've added 3 Kanto Nation artworks, 2 of them for Kanto Cast, and 1 was the Proud Citizen of Kanto Nation t-shirt is now available on Redbubble.
I'm drinking from my Kanto Cast coffee mug right now, and loving it.
So am I.
I'm just kidding. There's no more coffee in it.
Yeah, we already drank that a while ago.
It's way too late for that. Also, I would be remiss if we did not mention the donations that kind of randomly took place last week. Thank you to our donors, Pat from Palette, P. Catrone, and 40 McNuggets. You guys randomly just spouted off weird and...
It wasn't weird.
Unnecessary acts of kindness that we definitely appreciate. But given that the generosity has been extended from these guys, we are going to open it up to everybody because there is evidently a fund that has started for me to get a capture card. So, if you guys would also like to join in the benefit of everybody having a capture card type stuff from me.
Basically the advancement of our technological abilities.
You mean pointing a camera at a 3DS screen isn't quality?
Not so much.
No, it's not. But these guys have kind of started to get the ball rolling on that, and we are eternally grateful for any of that. And if you guys want to donate, again, totally up to you. I think we are going to potentially do a survey.
Yeah, we're going to do a survey on whether or not you would participate in a Patreon. And if you would like to do a one-time only donation, you could find a donation button at the bottom of our website that will take you to a PayPal screen where you can either log into PayPal or go through the steps and fill out all the information to send us a donation, which is greatly appreciated, but definitely not necessary.
Yeah. That said, future Kanto Nation events are coming in the new year. What am I talking about? Well, first off, 40 McNuggets, I know I've mentioned him recently, Delibird, Wonder Trade, Extravaganza. It was thought up by him, and he will be Wonder Trading away a couple boxes worth of Delibird to kind of spread festive holiday cheer. For the month. So, KantoCast, i.e. Yellow and myself, will be doing the same on December 23rd. So we are going to be shipping out tons of Delibird via Wonder Trade, spreading some holiday cheer to everybody in the world. And if you want to jump on board, you can definitely do that as well. If you need Delibird, let me know. I'll probably be breeding some. I don't know if I'm going to try and make them perfect. I'll try. If they happen, they happen. That's cool. But if you want some Delibird, hit me up. I can trade you some. And you can participate in the spreading of joyousness throughout December 23rd.
Is that a Wednesday?
I think so.
Wonder Trade Wednesday!
Boom! Oh, wow. That was not planned. But that worked out really well. So cool. Yeah. Also, I have decided that KantoCast will be hosting a VGC 2016 mini tournament. It's going to be the last weekend in January, either the 30th or the 31st. Keep an eye on Twitter for the official time and date. Might have prizes, depends on who's participating and how many are participating and things like that, but it's probably going to be on Smogon. So that makes things a little bit easier rather than hooking up friend codes and stuff like that. You just find the username and battle that way. So I think we're going to do that, but it should be cool. And it might be a nice little way to ease into the new format for everybody with the 16 rules.
Definitely. I'll include the date also in the event section of the website with information on how to register and whatnot.
Yes. So keep an eye on that. And Yell and I might be doing a little thing called Gaming with a Nation, because we got a Wii U, and that could include games like Mario Kart, Smash Bros., and Splatoon. So,
if you want to game with us, send us your network ID. I believe it's the Nintendo Network ID is what it's called. You can tweet at us, DM us, email us what you like, let us know, and we will add that to our Wii U console. And we can play Mario Kart because I'm surprisingly good at that game. Not great.
But she's mildly...
I can beat you.
She's okay. She's okay.
It's probably the only game that I'm actually okay at.
And there we have episode 35.
Woo!
With a title TBD.
Make sure to go down to that survey so we can get your feedback on Patreon type things. There are links to all of the articles you need to know about in the description, as well as our contact information, right?
Sure. And we're going to have more regular uploads with the TCG openings and then the TNTBT replays. I don't really know what I'm going to do with those yet, because there's not really a VGC 16 format on BattleSpot, and I don't have really good screen capture capability on my computer. So, we're just gonna figure some things out for that.
I do want to try and do more thumbnails and stuff like that. So you might be seeing a little bit of changes to some of those videos in the future as well.
Yeah. But that is going to wrap episode 35.
I am so sick of talking, but I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
My voice hurts. It's been a while, but thank you guys for tuning in this episode. We will be back either next week or the week after with episode 36 with all sorts of other stuff that is not VGC 16 related, probably.
I might even talk a little bit about TCG, maybe.
Yellow might even have Y finished by then.
Maybe.
We don't know, because Blue needs to go on the hunt for some legendaries in Alpha Sapphire.
Yeah, I gotta start that apparently immediately.
Well, that or I have to. Because VGC 16 waits for no one. Anyway, that's gonna do it for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. We missed you guys. It's good to be back. As always, I am Blue.
I'm Yellow.
And we will catch you next time.
It It is like a puzzle Sudoku type game.
Sudoku?
Sudoku. Sudoku? Sudoku? How do you say
Sudokai? It? Sudokai? I think that's the plural form. I should read the notes more often, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, he was quiet all day until we started doing
Why this. Is noisy neighbor so noisy? He's doing kung fu. I know he is.
Oh, you're waiting for me.
Gil from Tower of Dryuga? Dryuga.
It says that Bayonetta is from New Smash Bros. Like, oh wait.
No.
Where's Bayonetta from?
Bayonetta.
Where's Bayonetta from? Like, what game?
The game, Bayonetta.
I just don't know that game.
Facepalm. Oh my god. This entire podcast is just to demonstrate how clever Yellow actually is, and she just plays dumb most of the time.
I have no comment. But if you're also into more Nintendo news and / Microsoft-ish news...
This is a terrible segue.
You
if you're like... a fan of the Minecraft... If you're a fan of the Minecraft franchise, then good news, because it's coming to the Wii U.
It already came to the Wii U.
It's here.
It's here.
Did it came already?
It came already. On December 17th, it came.
Okay.
We're trying to read and not hurry up. Okay. Anaheim? That was a good answer, Blue. Let's move on.
Yeah. Why not?
We were made aware that more information about nationals. We were made aware that more information about worlds. Oh my god. I don't know why it's so high.
It is high.
Do you need me to tell you what's up with the...
Can you?
The goodness comes with me trying to read it without messing it all up. So, it actually comes from Raimi... It actually comes from...
Three words in.
Complete Xerneas form before...
Complete Zygarde form?
Complete Zygarde form. I think it's supposed to say joint.
Yes, it is.
You were supposed to say something witty there, and you didn't.
I was just gonna put it in the bloopers. But I guess I'll put this in instead. A Hachimaki? Headband. Yo, did you make me read this because you had no idea what half of the words were? Well, that's a yes. This whole thing is going to be a blooper. I know it is. You guys come for the hot mess, right? That's what this is.